Ready on the left.
Bill, how are you? Good to see you.
I'd like to call the April 19th, 2011 session of the House Veterans Committee to order. Good afternoon, everyone. Apologize for the delay, but much of the information that we receive is just in time. And when we have to go through all the fiscal and revenue statements that just arrived, it tends to delay things. So we can't send bills out of here without those statements. So thank you for your patience. I am going to open briefly a work session with invited testimony on House Bill 2848. Representative, are both of you on this bill?
No, Representative.
Okay. All right, come on up. And before you begin, just so that I have some kind, we have received requests for folks to be able to say a few brief words, and that folks have come a long distance here today. I don't want to open this up for general testimony, but who in the audience would have a burning desire to testify on this bill today? Okay, fine. Thank you. That just helps me with my planning and scheduling. With that, Jill, if you please read the bill for us.
House Bill 2848 creates a commission for purpose of awarding or creating an Oregon Medal of Honor to honor memory of Oregon service members killed in action or as a result of wounds received in action while serving in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members
Afternoon.
Of the committee. For the record, my name is Patrick Sheehan. I'm state representative in House District 51. And I'm here today. I've been sort of putting off coming in and trying to testify here. It looks like you're sort of at the end of a long road of amendments and things to the Oregon Medal of Honor bill. And I wanted to come in and share kind of a personal interest in this bill and beg you to please not pass this thing through. My family history actually has a Medal of Honor, a Congressional Medal of Honor in it. My great uncle is actually the only Coast Guardsman to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. If you go into my office, you'll see all sorts of photos and a painting of him in the situation where he won. It was Guadalcanal in World War II. He steered his own Higgins boat in between a Japanese gunship and a beachhead full of evacuating Marines who were being shot at from behind, and they were being slaughtered. He turned his boat in to take some enemy fire and fired on the enemy and ended up rescuing all those Marines. He was killed at the end of the action, and my great-grandmother was presented with the Congressional Medal of Honor posthumously. So it's a really big deal in the Coast Guard, certainly, because it's the only one. Wanted to stress the importance of the wording, Medal of Honor. It's something that I think most people that have had military service that I've spoken with, in fact, every person that I've spoken with on this topic who has military background or military family recognizes the value of the words Medal of Honor. That's a sacred phrase, and it's issued by members of Congress. When I first read about this bill, I was pretty angry. I called the Medal of Honor Society back east and talked to them. They said that they did have knowledge of some municipal governments, fire departments, police departments, things like that, issuing a Medal of Honor when someone was killed. And I understand what the bill is designed to do, and I like what the bill is designed to do. The problem is, at a funeral or memorial service, do you really want people having the topic of conversation to be, did they win the Medal of Honor, or what is the Oregon Medal of Honor? Trying to make that distinction, I think that does a disservice to the family. There's only one person in the entire state of Oregon that actually is living that has a Congressional Medal of Honor. This is a rare and important thing, and it serves as more as just a memorial to the family, but it actually serves as something that active duty military strives for. It's a story that gets told over and over again, and gives people inspiration to be better at their job in the military. So I think it's critically important to keep the term Congressional or a Medal of Honor, a Congressional Medal of Honor. I've actually contacted Jeff Merkley's office and Earl Blumenauer's office to ask if they would amend the Stolen Valor Act of 2005 to include a prohibition of any term used by a congressional medal from being used by anything except the United States Congress. And they are looking into it, but I think that we can stop this right here and not put forward anything having to do with the Medal of Honor. I understand the amendment does mention Medal of Honor in the amendment, and that may have something to do with the relating clause, but I just want to be clear that I'm in as far of a antagonistic position on this bill as one can get.
Thank you very much. Yes, Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks. Appreciate you being here. And I just want to say, in the Dash 6 amendments, and I understand what you're saying, but in the Dash 6 amendments, it clearly states, line 11, the commission shall design the medal and suggest an appropriate name for the medal and ceremony for presentation of the medal to the next of kin. That's not Medal of Valor. That's not Medal of Honor. That's an appropriate name for a medal. So I'm trying to figure out where exactly you're at here. You want to kill the bill today and not have it move forward because the relating clause, or you don't like the concept of the state of Oregon recognizing its veterans that get the life? I mean, I'm just curious.
I certainly am not in favor of the latter. I'm certainly not in favor of the state of Oregon not recognizing veterans. If you were to call it, and you guys have had a long time to debate this, whether it would be called the Medal of Valor or anything else, that's all I'm asking is name it anything else. In this, it says, and it does say Medal of Honor in the amendment. May have to bring it up, but the in the amendment, it does. I believe it's in the first paragraph. It does mention the purpose of the commission is to create an Oregon Medal of Honor. That's line 5 and 6. So that's what I object to. If it were the commission shall design the medal and suggest an appropriate name other than the Medal of Honor, I'd be thrilled with it. But right now, I think that the appropriate thing to do is to not move this forward, to come up with a name as a committee or create a commission that has some proper guidelines. Medal of Honor is a sacred phrase. Let's keep it that way.
And just a quick follow-up, because I want to make sure. I don't want you to think I'm challenging. I apologize for that. I your work on the funeral bill that we've been doing in our other committee, I mean, it's stellar, and I appreciate your effort, and I understand where you're at with respect to veterans. I'm just trying to say, here we are in crunch time. You know, it's the 11th hour and a half, and now we're saying, well, gosh, you know, it's a relating clause issue of that coming into the Senate. I honestly believe the generals that will be in charge of coming up with this name will not be naming it the Medal of Honor for the very reasons you've stated. So I, you know, being a veteran, I'm very comfortable moving this bill forward because I think it does something that we should really do, and that is that Oregon's got to recognize at some point that not all of our soldiers are 24-hour, 7-day-a-week soldiers. They're committed to soldiering, but they're also, you know, citizen soldiers, and they have other duties beyond just military. And so I like the idea of us recognizing them. I get what you're trying. I get where you're at and what you're saying, but I honestly say that doesn't stop me from wanting to move forward and bringing recognition to the soldiers.
It doesn't stop me from wanting to do that either.
Right.
It's just a matter of where you put the trust in the actual letter of the law here, which would give them the ability to do that, and not only gives them the ability, but actually calls it out and says the purpose of the commission is to create an Oregon Medal of Honor. I mean, if that weren't there, I wouldn't be spending my time here. But that's what I'm after.
Yes, Co-Chair Esquivel.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. We did have Dexter Johnson in for an interpretation on this, as I've relayed to you before, that it is a relating clause issue. But read number 5 in the bill.
Number 5 is, if the governor approves, the governor shall present the project to the 76th Legislative Assembly for its approval.
It's in our hands.
All right.
Representative Parrish.
Thank you. I'm curious, Representative Sheehan, because I also kind of feel a little bit like you do, and I won't bemoan it too much today. But I guess the question I have, if you've got a priority bill left, would you be willing to work to fix it and send it to rules?
I think the committee has worked on this a lot. I came in to get some things on the record about where I stand on it and where a lot of folks that I've talked with stand on it. And officially, I'm going to say that I hope you guys don't pass this through, but Representative Matthews makes a great point, and if there are generals involved with this, and Representative Esquivel, or Co-Chair Esquivel, is points out on Section 5 that we will have the final say, I would very much be supportive of anything that does not say Medal of Honor, and I think you guys are on a path to that. But I felt that you know, I've been staying quiet for a long time on this, hoping you guys would hash it out on your own. And here we are at the 11th and a half hour, and I felt compelled to come in and say what I needed to say.
Yes, Co-Chair Esquivel, please.
And that's why we're at the -6 amendments, because we've tried every name in the book.
Thank you.
And because the first thing I did was look at it and locked up on that issue, as you and I had discussed before it ever hit this committee, because that's an inappropriate thing to do, and it's a misuse of what we have as the highest esteem that we could possibly receive in the military of the United States, and soldiers and airmen, sailors, Marines, they all understand that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee.
Additional questions or comments?
I just want to check. Is it Douglas Monroe? Is that your great-uncle?
Yeah, it's an amazing. I just happened to scroll through here. It's amazing that the U.S. Coast Guard has them on their website, and lots of pictures, lots of photos. I'm sure you're proud, but
cool.
You know, that's just yeah. Thanks for bringing that forward. That's something I didn't know about you.
Right.
Yet one more thing.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much, Representative Sheen. Appreciate that. Thanks. Yes, Representative.
Representative Sheen, maybe you might wait until General Caldwell has his say, because we're going to get General Caldwell on the record, because he's going to make this determination, and he's as adamant about it as I am about not using the word Congressional or Oregon Medal of Honor. We're very adamant about that.
I will listen with interest. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that, I'm going to temporarily close the work session on House Bill 2848. And just by way of explanation to our audience, because we have several members from the body here and they are busy working on other legislative matters, we try and accommodate them and get them up early. We will come back to this bill later. Next, I am going to open a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 951. Good afternoon, Representative.
Good afternoon. I'll introduce this gentleman here in a second, but I'd like to have him join me here. Thank you, Co-Chairs Witt and Esquivel, and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Sherry Springer, State Representative from House District 17, and I bring you Senate Bill 951. And this bill came to me maybe slightly in a slightly unusual way. My friend here, Louis White, a Vietnam veteran, came to me and said, you know, we've never really done the right thing for Korean War vets. And he said, you need to do that. And so when somebody comes to you with something like that, you quickly say, I guess I do. And so let me tell you just a little bit about this bill. It simply designates June 25th of every year as Korean War Veterans Honor Day. And I am not going to sit here and give you a ton of facts on the Korean War, because there are people behind me, certainly Louis being one of them, that knows a lot more than I do. I just want to tell you why I believe that this is important, and certainly I encourage your support of this bill. It was probably about 2-3 years ago that I spoke at a Veterans Memorial Dedication in SIO. And it was a great event. I was honored, overwhelmingly honored, to be their keynote speaker. And I spent weeks working on this speech. And like many of us that give speeches, the night before I scrapped it because I didn't like it. And I got up at 5 the next morning and started writing a new speech. And the reason that occurred is when I began writing that speech, I was trying to talk about facts and share things that I thought were important to people. It just didn't come from the heart. And what I found at 5 o'clock in the morning on the back deck on July 4th was, this was about how can I say thank you And how in the world can I stand before this group of people that I so honor and tell them anything? And so I decided I didn't have anything to tell them. I needed to use that opportunity to thank them for the many privileges that myself and my family enjoy. And I said, the best way I can thank you is to just remember your sacrifice. And so that is what this resolution does. It remembers the sacrifice. And that's really all I want to share with you today. I'll stick around and answer any questions that you may have. But like I said, there's people that know more than I know that want to share what they know.
Thank you so much, Representative Springer. Please, Mr. White.
For the record, my name is Lewis White. I live in the county up outside of Lebanon. I want to thank Senator Anderson and Representative Springer for what they've done to bring this bill to where we are today. And I especially want to thank these Korean War veterans that are here today. They're why. Like Representative Springer, I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of facts. I'll bore you with my life experience and why I feel the Korean War veterans should be honored. I was born in 1944, so I was pretty small potatoes when the Korean War broke out, and I lived down at the end of a long gravel lane out of Crabtree, Oregon. And we did have electricity. I don't know how much else we had, but really limited experience with the outside world, except when we went down to the general store and got a Sunday newspaper. And you'd hear someone ask, well, where's Burrhead these days, or where's Dockey Hare, or Richard Miller, Miller and Korea. That's it, and nothing more. That's about what they were doing. And this, when they come back, well, so and such is back from Korea, and they were all came back different like we all did. Nothing else was said. Fast forward up to when I'm 19, 20 years old and working at Simpson Plywood in Albany, the local canneries when I was in the Navy was full of World War II and Korean War and of course, Vietnam veterans. And they all talked about World War II. And I loved to hear those World War II stories back when I was a kid. You know, the reality wasn't there yet. You never heard them talk about Korea. And so there I am in the Navy. And in February of 1967, the USS Pueblo was captured. And so I spent a month off the coast of Korea on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier. And I got a little bit of an indication of what those folks went through in country. 30 below and 28 knots of wind across the deck when we launched and recovered aircraft. The big difference between myself and perhaps the gentleman in February back in the 50s, I was in full Arctic gear. I had that advantage, but it was bitter cold. And in 1977, 78, I happened to be a well digger over in eastern Oregon, the coldest year, winter in 100 years. So I think you know what I'm referring to there about cold. Korea, I mean, you couldn't hold a candle to Korea. It's bitter, bitter cold. They really made the sacrifice. And our country hasn't really forgotten them, but we kind of ignored them. Come home out of the Navy, went through life experiences, and in 1982, a delegation of veterans from Oregon went to Washington, D.C. for the dedication of the wall. And they came back home to Oregon and said, there's a lot of people not going to get there. So they formed this Memorial Fund organization to build an Oregon Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And I served on that board of directors and was an active fundraiser for 5 years. One of the first things they did was went to then-Governor Attia and asked for his support and his name on this, you know, to kind of help the effort along. Said, I'll give you my name, my office for support, but we won't give you a dime. You're not going to get any money from us. Governor Attia did as an individual. State of Oregon, you're not going to get any money from us. But right after he said that, he said, why hasn't this been done for the Korean War veterans? And, of course, there was no answer from that group of people. During that 5 years, up until 1987, in 1985, the traveling wall came to John Day, Oregon. I'm sure you're familiar with the traveling wall. And I was there. And I made the acquaintance of a gentleman, another Navy veteran. You can tell by his, he had a Navy work uniform on. He was there in honor of his brother who had been killed in action in Vietnam. And over the course of that weekend, kind of got halfway acquainted with it, you know, a stranger. And one of the things he said is, this is as close as I'll ever get to a memorial being a Korean War veteran. And that kind of, it stuck with me. I didn't know anything about it, but it stuck with me. And it stuck with me for years. And so, here a couple of months ago, I suppose, I'm at the VFW Hall in Albany, and Director Willis and Representative Springer are discussing veterans bills here in the legislature, and being the nosy person I am, I butted right in, looked to see what they were talking about. And there was a Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Day. And I'll take all that, we all want to, okay. But I'd had enough, and I said, when are we going to do something about the Korean War veterans? And basically, well, when you want to do something about it. They were much nicer than that, but that's what it came out to, is you got to do something. So that is why we're here today, folks, is to make those Korean War veterans here in Oregon know that we appreciate their sacrifice and their service. Unfortunately, many of them have passed on before us. We have a very short period of time here to do the right thing, and it's all in your hands. So please get this to the House floor and get this into the governor's hands so he can sign this into law and let these folks know how much we appreciate them. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much, Mr. White. We typically afford everyone who's a veteran that comes before us the opportunity to describe their service. I take it that you were a Navy man. You served aboard an aircraft carrier. I know it was at least the mid to late 60s. Anything else, sir, that you would like to share with us here this afternoon?
1965 to 1969, sir.
Very good. Very, very good. Thank you so very much for your service. Questions, comments for Representative Springer or Mr. White? Yes, Co-Chair Esquivel.
What carrier were you on?
USS Kearsarge.
Okay.
Anti-submarine warfare aircraft carrier, search and rescue.
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to, for your information, FYI, my stepdad was in Korea. He was stringing communication lines on the front lines when the Chinese overran him. And he wandered around for 10 days behind the Chinese lines and just happened to walk through a seam and walk into an Ethiopian camp. And quite a story.
There was a gentleman who fell off the railing on the USS Kitty Hawk and was picked up by a North Vietnamese gunboat and was in fact ordered to come back when some people from this country was there and was ordered to come back with that delegation against his wishes, but then Captain Stockdale ordered him to come back because he had a photographic memory and he knew the names of every live American known to them to be held. And it was vital information for here.
Very, very interesting. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Chairman.
Field promotion.
Yeah. I can't really relate to those memory issues. What I did pick up was that the bill names my birthday as the day. So that's going to be easy for me to remember.
Very, very good. Additional questions or comments? Seeing none, thank you both so very, very much. And, sir, thank you again for your service.
Thank you for this time.
Absolutely. At this point, I'd like to invite, please, Senator Mona Sanderson. Welcome to our committee.
Thank you, co-chairs and members of the committee. I am Senator Lori Mona Sanderson. I represent Gresham, Trout, Deadwood Village, and Fairview, and I'm honored to chief sponsor this bill with Representative Springer. Oregon has 340,000 veterans, and 39,000 of those are Korean War veterans. And as has been said, this is the forgotten war. And I need to give this the history lesson. Sorry, that's who I am. But really, these veterans played a significant role in preserving democracy in South Korea. And World War II divided Korea into a communist northern half and an American-occupied southern half at the 38th parallel. And then the war was actually a result of the physical division of Korea by an agreement by the Allies at the conclusion of World War II. So on June 25th, North Korea invaded South Korea, causing the start of the war, and it was actually the first significant conflict in the Cold War. And North Korea had military support from China and the Soviet Union, and South Korea had the support of the United Nations, particularly the United States. And then in 1953, and I was 8 years old at the time, 7 years old, sorry, the war ceased with an armistice that restored the border between the two Koreas at the 38th parallel. And it created the Korean Demilitarized Zone, better known as the DMZ. And it's a 2.5-mile wide buffer zone between the two Koreas. And I think you've all heard about the TV series MASH. I want you to know that the MASH units actually started during the Korean War. And MASH stands for Mobile Army Surgical Hospitals. And the MASH units saved thousands of lives. And once a soldier got into a MASH unit, he had a 97% chance of survival. So please honor our Koreans with their own honor day. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, and thank you for bringing this bill forward. It is long overdue. If my memory serves me correctly, this is always dangerous, I think you were present when there were a lot of veterans who came home from another war.
Vietnam,
that's correct.
I actually flew into Vietnam many, many, many times. I was one of the volunteers. I was made a second lieutenant in the United States Air Force. And flew into Vietnam and Saigon and Cameron Bay. I was one of those that supported our Vietnam vets. I see them all right there. Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
And I have one other bill. Could you quickly open up?
Temporarily close the public hearing on Senate Bill 951 and open a public hearing on Senate Joint Memorial 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Senator Lori Moniz Anderson, and I am here in support of SJM 1, which urges the United States Department of Veterans Affairs to place greater emphasis on transitional housing for homeless veterans. And I'm actually here to tell you that I really would hope that the committee would consider an amendment. The state of Oregon is going towards permanent housing for homelessness rather than transitional. And we have some people working on an amendment and would love to have you consider that. I happen to serve on the board of Human Solutions, which is affordable housing, and right now we have units, and it's called Housing First, and that's where families, they obtain their rent and assistance on apartments during the program, but then once the program's over, it's completed, the family then remains in the housing paying for it themselves. And unfortunately, the feds have these rules, and by gum, our vets get into this transitional house. It's really Housing First, but they actually have to move out of that unit into another unit. And we have a system where, yes, you're in transitional housing, but then once you've completed the program, et cetera, you can actually stay there. And it's really nice for the families when they move into that to be able to stay there. And we want to urge Congress to please make that little change. Okay. It seems logical. And that's all I'll have to say. I'm sure there are other people that can talk about the bill itself.
Well, thank you very much. So we will be awaiting an amendment from you before we consider this for a full-blown work session. Questions or comments for Senator Moniz Anderson?
Thank you very much.
I'm not seeing any. Thank you so very much. Is there anyone else who would like to testify today on Senate Joint Memorial 1? Right. Director Willis?
Co-Chair Witt, Co-Chair Escoval, members of the committee, Senate Joint Memorial 1, as you've just heard, is asking the federal VA to place greater emphasis on transitional housing for homeless veterans. And what we believe we meant when we supported this was greater opportunities for transitional housing. And with regard to the amendment that the senator was just discussing, I am aware of the verbiage involved in that amendment. We are in support of that, which basically puts together a combination of permanent and transitional housing. And the reason we still support transitional housing is there are people who are suffering from substance abuse issues, some of them with mental health issues, that are not prepared to assume a permanent housing role until they go through their treatment. After they go through their treatment, they could come from that transitional housing into the permanent housing. But we want to make sure that there is a place for those folks while they're undergoing that treatment. So I just want to make sure, Chair, that you and the committee understood that we do support that amendment, even though you haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's very helpful. Questions or comments for Director Willis? Not seeing any. Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And I know that I saw another hand in the background. Was it you, Mac? I'm sorry. Okay. Was there anyone else that wishes to testify in Senate Joint Memorial Number 1 today? I apologize, folks. We didn't have a sign-up sheet for this one, so I'm flying by the seat of my pants on this one. So, not seeing anyone. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Joint Memorial 1. And we will go back to Senate Bill 951. I'm going to reopen the public hearing on the bill. And with that, I'm going to call forward. Jim, I'm sorry to do this to you again.
Okay. It's all right. Paid by the month.
Not by the mile, back and forth.
Not a problem. Chair Witt, Co-Chair Escoval, members of the committee, for the record, I am Jim Willis, Director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and I'm here testifying in support of Senate Bill 951. My written testimony is before you, so I'll just do a couple quick excerpts. Over 74,000 Oregon veterans fought in the Korean War. 269 of them were killed in action. There exists in the town of Wilsonville a beautiful Korean War memorial, which if you've not had a chance to visit it, I urge you to do so. It's just off Interstate 5, very easy to access. And every year, usually on or about June 25th, there's a wonderful ceremony there, and you have a chance to meet some great Korean War veterans, their families, and interestingly enough, members of the Korean Army who have since immigrated to the United States and who also attend the ceremony. There is perhaps no greater country in the world in terms of their gratitude toward the United States than the South Koreans. They've expressed this time and time again, and I appreciate Louis White, my good friend, in his testimony talking about being born in 1944 and the fact that he was fairly young when this war was fought. I, of course, am his senior, having been born in 1943. And so I will tell you a snapshot as to why I think so much of these Korean War veterans. Several people in my neighborhood in Albany left unexpectedly, and as a young boy of 9 and 10 years old, I couldn't figure out why these people were gone. My father, who was a World War II veteran, explained to me that they were in Korea. So then I had to find out what that was, and then I had, as I hope some of you did when you were younger, I had taken up model building as a young fella. And so I want to describe in 1953 the ceiling of my room on Maple Street in Albany, Oregon. The ceiling contained an F-86 Sabre jet hanging from a thread from the ceiling and an F-80 Shooting Star and a Corsair, which was a naval aircraft, of course. And they were all flying really high and really great. It also contained a MiG-15 communist fighter, which was coming down at an angle from my ceiling with flame coming out the back of it. So you can see that I was properly indoctrinated by both my father and these Korean War veterans. The facts are that they kept that country safe. Facts are that it's one of the most booming economies in the Asian hemisphere today. And we, of course, have seen very recently in the national news some warlike actions by the North Koreans again, where they were again taking people's lives, in this time by shelling a island off the coast of Korea. So the Korean War has an armistice, but it does not have a peace treaty. So in essence, the war is not over. And nobody is more aware of that than the South Korean people and the over 37,000 American Armed Forces members who are still stationed on that peninsula or in the water surrounding it. So to pass a Korean War Veterans Honor Day means a great deal to me as a Vietnam veteran, especially given the fact that this body just passed the Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day. So I join my friend Louis White in recognizing these great Korean War veterans behind me, and I certainly hope that you will support the passage of this bill in honor of the roughly 35,000 Korean War veterans still alive and living in Oregon today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very, very much. Questions for Director Willis? I'm not seeing any, Jim. Thank you very much. With that, I'm going to call up, please, Irv Fletcher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Sal. Irv Fletcher, I was going to say Oregon AFL-CIO, that's 12 years of the date. I'm a member today representing the Korean War Veterans, the Oregon Trail Chapter, an organization which manages to meet monthly with 45 to 50 people, active Korean War veterans present. We were the organization that highlighted, spirited the development of the Korean War Memorial in Wilsonville, of which, believe it or not, but the Korean government strongly supported. Our president of the chapter went to South Korea, had a meeting with the prime minister, and came home with a $100,000 check. Hyundai, which is an organization, I think, and was in Springfield, come up with another $50,000. The third largest contributor to the Korean War Memorial was the Oregon Labor Movement, sent a letter out to them, and many of those people at that time were Korean War veterans. We strongly support Senate Bill 951. I would be remiss in my remarks if I didn't mention that I felt I was strongly supported by my government when I came home from the Korean War. A four-year GI Bill of Rights that gave me a college degree and also gave me a summer on my master's degree. Unemployment insurance, 5220 they called it, $20 a week for 52 weeks. I collected 1 week before I started college. Also, a low-interest GI loan to buy my first house. And lastly, but not leastly, which appears larger in my horizon, a place at Willamette National Cemetery when I'm gone. So you need to know also that I'm very grateful to my government for rewarding me for my service during the Korean War. And I was born 11 years before Willis. I was 1932. During the Hoover administration, but my father reminds me it was only 4 months later before segued to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. My dad was a Democrat. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Irv.
You follow that, Mr. Chair?
Committee members, you have to understand that Mr. Fletcher was my former boss, so I will never try to trump him, ever, ever, ever. It's impossible.
The record should show that we were colleagues. He's never had a boss. We were colleagues.
Questions or comments for Mr. Fletcher? I'm not seeing any. Irv, thanks so very much for coming.
Appreciate today. Your support for the bill.
And appreciate your service very much.
Thank you.
With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 951, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 951. Co-Chair Esquivel.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 951 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you very much. Co-Chair Esquivel moves Senate Bill 951 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Yes, Representative Matthews.
I'm happy to put support behind this. I think it's long overdue. I appreciate your service to all of our Korean War veterans. I would just say that it's nice to hear how you've been feeling when things go on for war-specific legislature. I'm a veteran of Operation Urgent Fury, which is Grenada, and I'm not seeking October 25th as the day. But honestly, I have to say to my friends, jokingly, I'm also a veteran of foreign war, Operation Urgent Fury, and yes, it counts. And I say that because so many people don't realize the impact that any war has on anybody that serves. And so these types of bills remind me all the time that what we do as veterans matters. It matters to those that give. It matters to those that respect what you give. And thank you for your service, and thanks for bringing this forward. And thank you, Representative, for teaming up with my senator and getting this done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anything further?
Did they make the motion, but have you followed up on it?
Yes, we're on discussion right now. Okay. Any further? I'm not seeing any further discussion. With that, is there any objection to the motion? I'm not seeing any. So ordered. And with that, I'm going to, if the committee would indulge me, I'd like to assign Representative Springer to carry this bill.
I'd be honored.
Thank you very much. With that, we're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 951. Thank you very much, Representative. Great bill. Long overdue. Thank you for doing this. I am going to now open a public hearing on Senate Joint Memorial Number 6. And with that, I'm going to call forward Val Conley and Elon Lambert, please. Yeah. While they're coming forward, if you would, please.
Senate Joint Memorial 6 urges Congress to fund mobile health care buses for women veterans.
Welcome back to our committee, both of you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Co-Chairs, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Val Conley, and I am the Women Veterans Coordinator for the State of Oregon, and I was also a member of the Legislative Task Force on Women Veterans Health Care. I'm here today to support Senate Joint Memorial 6, urging Congress to fund a women veterans health care bus for Oregon. SJM 6 comes to you from the Legislative Task Force on Women Veterans Health Care and is intended to be an outreach to women veterans who otherwise would forgo their earned VA health care benefits. Oregon is home to over 25,000 women veterans. However, only 7,000 use VA health care. During the task force, members learned that about 45% of women veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan were enrolling in VA health care because VA has realized it no longer can be maintained as a male-centric system. It has implemented women's clinics with gender-specific and appropriate care. Our newest vets are comfortable accessing that care. It is our older veterans that are not accessing their healthcare benefits. And there are many reasons that women veterans do not use their VA benefits, and they include not knowing they are veterans, being told they were not eligible for VA care after service, bad experiences in the old VA system after service, transportation issues for rural and remote female veterans, and lack of information about VA expanded women veterans health care. Whatever the reason, the task force believes it is important to reach out to women veterans. A mobile women veterans health care bus would cut through the barriers that keep Oregon women veterans from accessing their benefits. Such a mobile unit would provide primary care, mental health, and other gender-specific care. This is not a new idea. The VA has deployed mobile health care buses throughout the nation. In Oregon, there is a mobile vet center providing readjustment counseling to veterans who cannot reach a VA facility for their care. SJM 6 simply asked Congress to provide Oregon a bus dedicated to women veterans. I want to thank you for your continued support of veterans and our women veterans. In Vietnam, 7,500 women served. In Iraq and Afghanistan, more than 250,000 women have served, and that number grows daily. The work you do today on SJM 6 will help shape the way the military and the veterans community responds to this ever-growing group of women veterans. Thank you for your consideration. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. I think we'll have both of you testify, and then we'll open it up.
Thank you, co-chairs and members of the committee. My name, for the record, is Ilan Lambert. I am the executive director of Partnership for Veterans at Risk in Salem. I am also here to testify in support of SJM 6, and I was also on the Legislative Task Force for Women Veterans Healthcare. I think another reason why this is so important to have this available for women is all of the reasons that you were listed, but I think there's another reason that is more personal to me and to many other women veterans is those of us who do not seek care through the VA because of other issues within the military, particularly military sexual trauma, and not wanting to go to a facility where there perhaps where there are men or it's men-centric. So I believe that this is going to be a way for women to come forward who might not get care otherwise, and it's also a way for women who are particularly in the rural areas to be able to access care where they could not access it if they didn't have something come through for them on a regular basis. So I also ask that you support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Questions for our panelists? I'm not seeing any. Thank you both very, very much.
Thank you.
Certainly appreciate that. Anyone else from the public who would like to testify this afternoon on Senate Joint Memorial 6? I'm not seeing anyone. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Joint Memorial 6 and open a work session on Senate Joint Memorial 6. Co-Chair Esquivel.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Joint Memorial 6 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Esquivel moves Senate Joint Memorial 6 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on that motion. Seeing and hearing none, is there any objection? So ordered. Representative Parrish, would you like to carry that?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. With that, we're going to close the work session on Senate Joint Memorial 6. And if you'll just bear with me for a moment here while I shuffle some papers. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3611. Jill, if you'd please tell us what that bill is about.
House Bill 3611 requires a person submitting a death certificate to the county registrar in cases of suicide to make reasonable efforts to determine if the decedent was a veteran, where the decedent served, and to notify the Center for Health Statistics. This has an amendment that replaces the language requiring veteran suicide information to be on the death certificate with a requirement of notification of veteran suicide to the Center for Health Statistics. It does have a fiscal is estimated to be $14,500.
$14,500.
Other funds.
Okay, other funds. Very good. I have the sign-up sheet and do not have anyone signed up at this point. Anyone from the public like to testify on this bill today? General Caldwell.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Brigadier General Mike Caldwell. I'm the Deputy Director at the Oregon Military Department. This bill actually came to pass when Co-Chair Esquivel and I were discussing some of the facts that we don't seem to understand about the high rate of suicides that seem to be prevalent in with particularly veterans and other military members. And one of the things that's pretty evident that Many of the death certificates that are given in Oregon, they will say on them whether they're a veteran or not. What we don't know is whether or not they were actually in a combat zone. We're not scientists. We're not social scientists, neither the good co-chair or myself. But it seems that data would be something that would be important as we look at this whole phenomenon. Wasn't our department that did the fiscal on it. It seems like a fairly minor situation to check another block on a form, but it seems to have a fairly decent fiscal, which surprised me. Nonetheless, I would recommend that as we look at this problem, and I know all the effort that we're putting forth inside the Oregon National Guard to try to educate our people, we've sought help from Congress, who's been at least 1 year's worth of funding, and it looks like we may have additional funding be due in large part to a number of nonpartisan or certainly across the aisle sharing of senators who have leaned on the Department of Defense to fund our Oregon Partnership Program that we have that's available to everybody in Oregon, any service member, suicide helpline or hotline that they can call. So we think that's going to get funded again this second year, so we'll have a second year of it. Their numbers are staggering, just absolutely staggering, the number of people that they've seen call in over the last year when they started advertising this and we started advertising it. So I think clearly as a society, whether it be in Oregon or across every state in the union, this seems to be a very large issue. And I think the more data that we can get and let these professional social scientists and professional medical people try to understand that data may help us in how we address the problem to begin with. So that was kind of the genesis of the bill. I don't remember, we were just talking, I think, in the hallway when we were kind of questioning each other what do we think it is. So I think it's worthy. I think it's worthy of a minor expenditure by this legislature to try to pick up this data. So hopefully there would be something good come out of it. And I applaud the co-chair for putting the bill in, and I think it's a good attempt for us to try to pick away at this very, very troubling issue that we have before us here in the state. So, good bill ought to pass.
Very good. Thank you very much, General. Have you had an opportunity to see the Dash 1 amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I did. Just before the hearing, I asked your able administrator to show me that, and it looked rather doing the right thing to fix the bill a little better.
Thank you very much. Questions or comments for General Caldwell? Co-Chair Esquivel.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, General, for your input. I think the thing that woke me up on this issue was when Director Willis stated we had 58,245 KIAs in Vietnam, and since 1973, Vietnam veterans have had over 130,000 suicides. Then you start asking why, what, when, where, and I think this will be a valuable tool, so maybe we can zero in on maybe some sort of a pattern we have here, whether it be with support people or whether it be with combat veterans in country. I'm not sure. We're at a loss because once they get out of the system, we lose that. So therefore, this gives us an opportunity to get statistical information to maybe proceed with some sort of a effort to circumvent this tragedy we're letting happen.
I agree.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Certainly appreciate it. Anyone else at this point like to testify on House Bill 3611? I'm not seeing anyone. I am going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3611, and I am going to open a work session on the same bill, House Bill 3611. Committee members, we have a Dash 1 amendment up for your consideration. Co-Chair Esquivel.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 as amendment to House Bill 3611.
Thank you. Co-Chair Esquivel moves the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3611. Discussion on that motion? Seeing and hearing none, is there any objection? So ordered. And a reminder that this has a $14,500 fiscal, which seems...
I don't think that's a referral. the Ways and Means.
Over 10.
Is it 10?
Is it 10,000?
Yeah. It's a, no, it's that's we're in
that's
the referral.
The subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Yeah, yeah. So, Co-Chair Esquivel?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3611 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you very much. Co-Chair Esquivel moves House Bill 3611 as amended by the Dash Ones to the House floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Discussion on that motion. I'm seeing none. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Thank you very much. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3611. Next up, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2019. And Jill, if you would remind us what that bill does.
House Bill 2019 requires the Adjutant General to notify the Governor when the Oregon National Guard unit is called into active federal service outside the state. Pursuant to Title 10 of the United States Code, when a service member in the unit is the sibling of a person killed while serving, notification is to include either military necessity of service member's placement in the unit or service member's request for active federal service in compliance with regulations adopted by the Oregon National Guard. This has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Committee members, you may remember that we've had a good bit of testimony on both sides of this issue, and we have a Dash 2 amendment that I would like to ask General Caldwell to come forward and comment on before we consider the bill or the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Brigadier General Mike Caldwell. I'm the Deputy Director at the Oregon Military Department. And the unfortunately, I was in Washington, D.C. at a Homeland Security meeting when this bill came up for his first hearing. And I did listen to the tapes, and there was a spirited debate, and I appreciate that. That's what this process is all about. We worked with the carrier of the bill, or the originator of the bill, and Representative Matthews, co-vice chair, and we came up with the amendments that are before you that we think gets to the heart of the issue, which is a very important issue. And I might add that I think you heard in your testimony that we've had two incidents that we're very familiar with that have occurred during the deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. And both of those we were able to work through the military regulations of the Army in this case and get both of those surviving siblings back on the continental United States. And I think what we produced in this Dash 2 amendment, I think, will give us the flexibility that we really need to make sure the intent of the legislation is followed through with, but also doesn't harm any individual who otherwise might be subjected to being removed from the system because of the federal rules. We think we found the perfect fine line to work with. We think we can go down that without any great difficulty, and we think that the intent of the bill will be carried out, and any individual will have all their rights protected, so they can make these decisions. And in extreme cases where we have no alternative, then we could go ahead and put the individual into Title 10 orders. I think that would be the exception, the rare exception, as we've demonstrated over the last 8 years of this conflict. We've had two incidents. We've managed both of them. So I would highly recommend that you adopt the amendments that we helped author. And I think it will be something that we can deal with without any difficulty at all, and keeps this on the forefront of, I think, the initial intent.
Thank you very much. Questions or comments for General Caldwell while we have him here? Yes, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. General, I appreciate you working on the Dash 2s. You probably recall that I was a little uncomfortable with the bill, so I appreciate you working on it and bringing these forward.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I formally shared your discomfort, Representative Huffman, and I think, thanks to the general, we found that that magic spot, hopefully, here. Anyone else? Yes, Representative Matthews.
I just think it just goes to show you, and thank you, Mr. Chair, that when the general leaves town, we should probably hold off on bills that he could probably straighten out for us in a matter of testimony.
I don't know, no offense, but he couldn't find the dash twos when he came here.
But we worked together. But, yeah, and please extend the thanks to Colonel Ronnie and Major Liable. I understand they were put in a difficult position, too, and I respect greatly what they have to do and the job that they're doing. And I believe that everybody had the best of intentions in this. I just think that we had to find a way to get where we all wanted to be, and I think that this bill does that with the dash twos. And, again, General, just thanks for doing that and providing that for us.
Thank you.
Anything further? Thank you, General Caldwell, very much. Appreciate that. Committee members, what's your pleasure?
Want to go ahead on it?
Sure.
Representative Matthews.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments into House Bill 2019.
Thank you very much. Representative Matthews moves the dash two amendments to House Bill 2019. Discussion on that motion? I'm not seeing any. Are there any objections? So ordered. Committee members, Representative Matthews again, please.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2019 to the floor with the due pass recommendation as amended.
Thank you very much. Representative Matthews moves House Bill 2019 as amended with the dash two amendments to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussions on that motion? Seeing none, hearing none. Are there any objections? So ordered. Representative Matthews, would you care to carry that bill?
I'd be honored, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. We're going to close the work session on House Bill 2019. All right. Next up is House Bill 2243. Hold on while I catch up. Please, if you'd read that bill. I'm going to open the work session on House Bill 2243.
House Bill 2243 establishes an additional remedy for violations of unlawful employment discrimination against service members by allowing the Attorney General or the Director of the Bureau of Labor and Industries to file suit on behalf of the service member. And this has a fiscal, and there has, and we need to.
Okay. I'm going to recognize at this point Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2243, as you know, when we first presented this bill, I was somewhat hesitant to provide all the information that was, I think, necessary to make this bill somewhat meaningful to most. And I think, unfortunately, at the demise of the bill, I probably failed this group to tell them exactly why this is so important. The reason why is I was trying to spare some agencies from somewhat of a little bit of embarrassment that jobs weren't exactly performed at the level they should have been. I think case in point is when you look at the Fred Meyers ruling that was just recently settled, that was settled as a result of our Attorney General being involved. This bill would have allowed the Attorney General as well as Boley, either or, to be involved in these violations of unlawful employment discrimination. Unfortunately, and I respect people's views, we couldn't get the committee on board. As I tried to find ways to amend this bill, I started finding that the biggest problem was going to be that if I amend it and remove either one of those entities, there's a chance that the other one then would be precluded from getting involved in any of these cases. It's really unfortunate that I have a constituent that had to go through the lengths that he went through, but thank goodness our Department of Veterans Affairs sent him through the right door at the Attorney General, because quite honestly, the form letters I read were somewhat appalling that they didn't have an issue within the state guidelines or the USERRA guidelines. So, with that, Mr. Chair, I realize that this puts a strain on the committee and would force them to take a vote that perhaps, would put them in compromise with themselves. I don't think there's a person on this committee that doesn't want to defend our veterans and that doesn't want to provide protections for them. And so with that, Mr. Chair, rather than force a vote onto a committee that I have a great deal of respect for, I would rather perhaps exercise a priority bill to find the right way to get this done and not force us to a point of doing nothing. So with that, Mr. Chair, I really am not looking to take action on 2243 today. I will be meeting with several folks to try to determine what it is that we can do in a priority bill that would get this done. I do think that there needs to be protection for veterans. I've never said not. I do think that Boley has great interest in how we do that. And I also think our Attorney General does too. The good news is we have two folks in very high places that really want to do the right thing for veterans. The unfortunate thing is that we're not able to get agreement that they should have an either-or clause. So, bottom line, Mr. Chair, rather than force this committee, I would rather take a step back, if you don't mind, and take pause, find a way to create a priority bill that would do what we needed to do for our veterans, because if this were to get moved to rules as a courtesy to me, the bill is just without any doubt going to sit there and die. And I think that these folks deserve better, so I will admit my part in failure, and I will bring this back in some other capacity through another avenue. But thank you, Mr. Chair, for your indulgence.
Thank you very much, Representative Matthews, and rest assured that it is not a failure on your part. And I think I share the rest of the committee's feelings with respect to your very gracious offer in this regard. Is there any further discussion on House Bill 2243? I'm not seeing any. With that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2243. And I am going to reopen. Okay. I'm going to reopen the public hearing on House Bill 2848. And we had Mr. Maxwell, who is a Congressional Medal of Honor recipient, is that correct?
Yes.
Has requested an opportunity to talk to our committee by telephone today.
Is this Robert Maxwell?
Yes.
Hi, Mr. Maxwell. This is the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and we have you on the phone to testify about House Bill 2848.
Okay. I'm ready.
Good afternoon, Mr. Maxwell. This is Brad Witt. I am co-chair along with Representative Esquivel. Our committee is prepared to receive your testimony today. If you're familiar with the bill, please proceed. If you have any questions, those questions would be in order as well. I recognize that it may be somewhat challenging to do this at a distance, but please, however you feel most comfortable, sir.
Okay, we'll go for it. I know a little bit about it. But, so we'll go for it.
Very good.
Bob, this is Sal Esquivel. How are you doing? You want to go ahead and start? And I must ask you first, do you have the Dash 6 amendments?
I think he's outside.
Are you outside on a cell phone, Bob?
I'm in my car on a cell phone.
Okay.
Hands-free Bluetooth device.
So anyway, have you had a chance to see the Dash 6 amendments of this bill, Bob?
I haven't read any of it. I've just heard reports from John Huddle and other persons.
John Huddle?
Yes.
Okay. This bill is basically starting a medal that at first started out to be the Oregon Medal of Honor, which we adamantly disagreed with, and it's morphed into a committee by the Adjutant General of the State of Oregon to come up with a medal that would be given to our KIAs in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right.
Now, the commission is, they will design the medal, and they will suggest an appropriate name for the medal, and will be presenting that to the next of kin. It also, upon completion of the design of the project, the commission shall present the medal designed to the governor as commander-in-chief for the governor's approval. If the governor approves, the governor shall present the project to the 77th Legislative Assembly for its approval. And I can assure you, as we get General Caldwell up here that's going to head this up, that it will no way, shape, or form be called anything about the Medal of Honor.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Okay? Now, we're ready for you, Bob.
Okay.
And by the way, do you like those license plates?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it very much. Yes, sir.
So go ahead.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. Mr. Maxwell, is this something that you would favor or oppose?
Yes, I would certainly favor it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any particular reasons why you might favor it?
Well, it's enough to send our troops overseas to fight someone else's war and defend somebody else's liberties, which I approve of. But when they give their lives and their family is deprived of them ever coming back, I think we need to do something for the family to remember that it's their sacrifice also, not just their children or their loved ones, whatever, whoever it might be.
Well, thank you very much for those comments. Does that complete your comments at this time?
I think it does.
Okay.
I heartily approve of it, and I'm willing to help out in any way that I can to get it passed or whatever is necessary.
Well, Bob, this is Representative Esquivel again. I would like the people to know what a true hero you are for our state. Back when Bob was young, back in the 1942, if my memory serves me correct, in southern France. Does that sound about right, Bob?
44.
Close enough. Long before I was born. Bob and his outfit were in a skirmish with the Germans, and the Germans had automatic weapons. I think they call them MP-30s. Is that correct?
I don't recall what they were using at the time.
But it's the automatic weapons, and they were to the point of where they were exchanging hand grenades. So, you know, things were getting pretty grim at that point. In fact, that's real grim at that point. And one was thrown into the group of four people, Bob being one of them. And Bob did throw himself on the hand grenade and saved the other three people. So
wow.
Bob's a true hero.
That's my.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you, Bob.
Mr. Maxwell, it is an honor to be able to receive your testimony here today, sir. Thank you so very, very much for your service. And you, sir, are a true hero, and we certainly are extremely appreciative of your taking time out of your day today to provide us testimony. So thank you so very, very much.
I'd like to pay a little tribute to Bill Bussey. He had something like this in mind years ago when he was giving out replicas of dog tags to the families. And incidentally, that project is still valid, and if any families who have lost loved ones and haven't received a set prior to 2010, we still have those available, and we can send them to the families.
Bob, could you email me that information, and then I'll also email you some information on our flag fund that we're getting together for to send Oregon flags to our troops in the combat zone in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we are raising money for that at this point.
Yeah, I can't email it myself, but
have Colonel Tobiasen do it.
Yeah, Colonel Tobiasen will gladly do that to you.
I enjoy watching an officer work for an enlisted man, Bob.
I enjoy it. I don't have an email address. I'm not into the internet type thing. Still snail mail and telephone.
Okay, if you'd have Colonel Tobias and do that, he has sure. My email address, sir.
Okay, now you want to go to Sal Estebo?
That'd be fine, Bob.
All right. I'll tell him.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Maxwell, before you leave us, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Let me just ask if any of the committee members have any questions for you today. Any questions? I'm not seeing any. Again, sir, thank you so very, very much. It's an honor for you to join us here this afternoon. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon, sir.
Okay, bye.
That is our only Congressional Medal of Honor winner, recipient in the state of Oregon. And there's only 103, I believe, alive in the United States.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. With that, I think I saw a hand or two earlier when I asked if there was anyone from the audience who wanted to testify on this bill. Again, I don't want to open it up to a full-blown hearing, but I certainly recognize. John, did you?
I'd like to hear from General Caldwell.
Okay, we'll hear from General Caldwell in a moment. Did you want to testify, sir?
Yes.
Okay. And I believe you have also come a considerable distance.
Just from Lapine. I have breakfast every. I'm John Huddle. From Lapine, Oregon.
Welcome.
I have breakfast every Monday with Bob Maxwell and about 115 other veterans at the Ben Bander Brothers. I presented this bill to the band yesterday and had a little difficulty presenting the making the case clear. Like them, I have problems with the title Medal of Honor. However, when I left home at 16, I worked at a car dealership, wanted to buy a car. There was an Edsel for sale, if that dates you. It wasn't that old.
Oh, you know how to pick them.
Oh, yes. I wish I had it. But had I bought that car and drove up somewhere and got out, no one would have called me Mr. Edsel. Likewise, I know that this bill has a related to clause that includes Oregon Medal of Honor. That's the name of the vehicle. That's not the name of the medal. And so I hope as a committee you can move past that, and I hope that our representatives on the floor can also move past it. I teach research design and methodology. So one of the first things I do with anything is I research. There are 6 states in the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico that have a Medal of Honor. There are 8 states that have a Legion there's 8 states that have a, now I'm forgetting the name of the bill.
Legion of Merit?
Pardon?
Legion of Merit?
No.
Medal of Honor.
I think it's Legion of, I'll look it up here. Legion of Merit, yes. 8 states, 27 states have a Medal of Valor. So we're not trading something that's new. However, as best I could ascertain, we don't have medals for our National Guard members except for service. So I think we're a bit behind the times in what we need to do to honor people, especially those who have fallen. Hawaii, in 2005, created the Legislative Medal of Honor. I don't like the title. I think it should be reserved for Congregational Medal of Honor recipients. But I want to read you the quote of the Representative Mark Teke. He's a Hawaiian Army National Guard medical officer. He says, "In the past 5 years, the war against terrorism has changed our world and our lives in a profound way. Ultimately, it's not about politics, it's not about money, and it's not even about winning. It's all about the families and their loved ones and what these brave men and women sacrificed for our country." And I think that's what we need to keep our focus on. The vehicle has a name that maybe we don't care too much for, but it's what it carries with it that's important. And when this gets to the Senate, I would like to see this amended to include one committee member that's a veteran with a recipient of a Medal for Valor. And in particular, I can't think of anybody better qualified to help design and name this medal than Bob Maxwell. I believe that that would ease a lot of veterans' minds. And certainly if you get to know Bob, you know this is a man that's very kind, that's very level-headed, very even, and surprisingly for his age, has still got a lot of energy. And so that would be the one thing that I would see that should be changed in this, once it gets to the Senate, is allow a veteran with a Medal of Valor, in particular Bob Maxwell, to be on that committee to help design and name this medal.
Thank you very, very much. Now, there's one stipulation. Bob isn't going to talk while he's driving, is he?
I hope not. That's multitasking. You might be able to accomplish that.
Well, I'm sure he can. He just did.
Anything further from Mr. Huddle? John, I will leave it up to your own devices to pursue those amendments on the Senate side as you deem appropriate, and I think you have made a very worthy suggestion for our consideration here this afternoon. Thank you for that effort very much. Appreciate it. And thank you for the long distance you travel, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
With that, I'm going to ask, General Caldwell, to conclude our testimony here.
Members of the committee, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, I'm the Deputy Director of the Oregon Military Department. We too, which I might add that the previous speakers, both Medal of Honor recipient Maxwell and previous speaker, more eloquently addressed the issue than I could probably ever attempt to, so I will keep it short. I will tell you that we had the same difficulty with using the Medal of Honor as the term. I think that denotes some certain things in our society that need to be maintained as they are and not be tinkered with, so we had those same concerns. However, I think the amendments are clear. There's no question in our mind that this committee will not only develop the medal, but also give it an appropriate title, which I would tell you that knowing the membership of that group, just looking at what the bill calls for, I would be very, very surprised if anybody came up with anything other than or came up with the way it's addressed right now in the current formation of the bill. I think the amendments are quite appropriate, and I think that we can address this and get it back to the next session for approval in a timely and judicious fashion. So we support that context of our understanding of the intent, and I think that we look forward to the opportunity to address this issue because I think it is something that many of our families, members of our organization and many other from the other services truly deserve that presently. We do have some medals in the military department that are for distinguished service. Just so you're aware of that, that they've already been minted. We haven't created a new medal in probably 20 years. I think the last medal that we created was designed around service and state service for firefighting and that sort of thing. But the majority of our medals are for service, time and grade, that sort of thing. But we do have three different medals that we do offer to members of our organization for distinguished service as well. But nothing that quite addresses in our repertoire what we're trying to address here, which are the families of the fallen soldiers of all branches. And so we think it's very honorable. We think it's the right thing to do. And I completely agree with the previous speaker about maybe we should put somebody on there with the Valor Medal from their service in the armed service of the United States. I think that would add a very, very nice addition to this group.
Pretty
happy
good.
To answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Co-Chair Esquivel.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. General, I think you and I are in the agreement about this issue.
Yes, sir.
That people are kind of getting in the way of the relating clause versus what we're actually doing, which was eloquently explained by the previous speaker. But more importantly, you can't get any better than having Bob Maxwell on the team.
I would completely agree, Mr. Co-Chair. Absolutely. American hero.
Very good. Anything further for the general? Thank you, General Caldwell, very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Certainly appreciate that input. With that, colleagues, we are in a work session, and up for our consideration would be the Dash 6 amendments. Co-Chair Esquivel.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 6 amendments dated 4/12/11 and which makes a few minor changes to replace the Dash 5 amendments dated 4/12/11 as well.
Thank you very much. Co-Chair Esquivel moves to adopt the Dash 6 amendments dated April 12, 2011. Discussion on that motion? I'm not seeing any. With that, I'm going to... With that, I'm going to ask the committee assistant to please call the roll.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Matthews? Co-Vice Chair
Matthews? Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Parrish?
Aye.
Co-Chair
Esquivel? Aye.
Co-Chair
Lewis? Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion is passed. The amendment is adopted. Having received the necessary majority, the amendment is adopted. Representative and Co-Chair Esquivel.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2848 as amendment to the House floor with a duplass recommendation.
Thank you very much. Representative Esquivel moves House Bill 2848 as amended to the House floor with a do-pass recommendation. Discussion on that motion. Yes, Representative Parrish, please.
Thank you. I still cannot get my hands around this, and I'll share a few reasons why. My family has served the state of Oregon in a military capacity. First person in our family was in the Oregon 1st Infantry Division in 1864, was just recognized at the Ontario Armory when we opened that up last summer. My husband has been in the service for years. My brother and sister-in-law met in Korea. That family who served in Vietnam, and even my father, who was not age-eligible to join the military, served over in Iraq as a translator. So we've got a pretty long storied history, and I'm never going to say that we don't need something for veterans. But I think Representative Matthews, in the last bill we just heard, recognized the need that when there was a flaw, to find a way to go fix it. And we knew that this bill was flawed from pretty early on in the get-go, and it could have been fixed and redropped to this committee. It could have gone to be redropped now and go to rules and be fixed. When Hawaii introduced this bill, lowercase Medal of Honor, the media still took it and ran with it as full-on Medal of Honor. And there's just story after story after story in Hawaii, looking through their media. I'm a media person. It's what I do all day long. I've talked to soldiers who are still not comfortable with this, so this will be the first the bill out of this committee that I'm going to have to be a no.
Thank you very much, Representative Parrish, and we certainly honor and respect your opinion on that, as well as the very, very long military service that your family has provided both to the state and this country. Additional discussion?
Chair.
Yes, please, Representative Huffman.
I guess it will. Since I kind of brought it up last week, seeing that, anyway, make a long story short, I appreciate Representative Hunt, putting forth the effort to get in there specifically the wording that I had said on the record, and General Caldwell coming up answering my question that there's no misunderstanding of the direction that this committee and Representative Hunt wants to head with this, and so I just appreciate all the work that's been done on it. It's a shame it's had to be that way, and I agree a lot with Representative Parrish. Too bad it wasn't worded appropriately, but I think we've got enough on the record that states our intention that I'm comfortable with it.
Thank you very much, Representative Huffman, for that, for helping to further clarify the record. I certainly appreciate that very much. Co-Chair Esquivel.
And this has nothing to do with anything, but Representative Parrish, you said that you had people in 1864. Was that part of, I mean, was that the Oregon National Guard or something
Oregon
like
First
that?
Oregon First Infantry.
There you go. Okay, I was kind of curious.
In Oregon First Infantry.
You'd only been a state 5 years.
I know.
That's cool.
I know.
Okay.
A very proud heritage.
Yeah.
Representative Matthews.
Mr. Chair, I want to thank the L.A. out of Dave Hunt's office. I think, Representative Hunt sent his L.A. down here, and he scrambled that day to try to get this to happen last week, and I think that we ended up getting the language that the best we can do with the related clause we have. I personally will want to follow this over to the Senate. I think that the generals being involved in it gives us great credibility, but further, perhaps seeking language that would have somebody such as our Congressional Medal recipient, Bob Maxwell, as part of it, is a big deal, too. So I'm going to, because we had some problems, I don't doubt that they'll have the same conversation in the Senate. I'd like to be there to kind of shed some light on where we went as a committee with this bill, too. So I think there's enough on the record. I'm very comfortable. I support the bill, and let's move it.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much, Representative Matthews. Anything further? I'm not seeing any. Would the committee assistant please call the roll?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks for the title. Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye. House Bill 2848, as amended, having received the necessary majority, is declared passed. And with that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2848. Anything good for the order?
Is there a co-vice chair meeting scheduled today, Mr. Chair?